me in those moments is, Andrew, will you trust me? Trust me. That's the basis of all relationship. You know, you don't build a relationship with someone by them slinging you a roadmap and saying, here you go. Trust someone as you learn to walk with them step by step, as they lead you on into all that they have for you. Sometimes we're really hurting and nothing in life seems to make sense anymore, and we ask God, God, why is this happening? We want to know the big picture. You notice God so often doesn't show us the big picture, but he speaks to us and says, Andrew, will you trust me? Will you put your hand in mine and trust? You don't see the big picture, but I do. And I have a purpose that I'm outworking through this. Perhaps in the fullness of time, you'll be able to look back and you'll be able to see how I've been using these things in order to accomplish my purposes. And right now, I know you're confused and bewildered, but won't you trust me? Slip your hand in mine and let me take you into all that I have for you. Abraham's faith is his response to the Lord, who reveals himself to Abraham. We're not told the details of how it happens. The account here is very sparse. But this personal God reaches out to Abraham, and Abraham becomes convinced, I can trust him. Trust in this God is never misplaced. And perhaps you're sitting there this morning and you're thinking, well, I'm not sure that I could ever trust a God that I cannot see. And a great prayer to pray is, Lord, if you're there, if you're real, if you're for me, would you reveal yourself to me? Would you enter into my experience so that I can understand something of who you are and know that I can trust you? It's a great prayer to pray, even today and through this week. Why don't you pray that prayer? God says, go. Abraham doesn't have the big picture. He doesn't see the details, but he puts his trust in God, and he goes. He goes. It's the command. Then we have a promise. The Lord says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. What's the most important word in those statements? We'll come to that a little bit later. You're right. It's a really important word. I, yes, I will do this. I will make, I will bless, I will make, I will bless. And whoever curses you, I will curse. Five times the word I appears in those statements. Now, I think there's an important contrast. I only saw this fairly recently. Remember that story from Genesis chapter 11, the building of the Tower of Babel? As the people are building this tower, this vanity project, they want to build this tower that reaches to the heavens. What do they say to one another? They say in Genesis 11, verse 4, let us make a name for ourselves. And this is happening in Babylon. And Babylon in the Bible doesn't just refer to a particular city. Babylon represents something. Babylon, through the Bible, represents human society that has pushed God out, and in which people live their lives by self-reliance and independence. They live by the idea, by my own efforts, I can have everything that I desire. What does God say to Abraham? I will make your name great. And God brings Abraham out of Babylon, because he wants Abraham to learn there's a different way to live. There is, if you like, a different way of being human. There's a way of living that is not established on self-reliance and independence from God. There's a way of living that is established on the basis of God-reliance and dependence on God. And he wants to teach Abraham, he wants to teach Abraham's descendants, look to me, everything you need is found in me. Don't look to yourselves, don't look at what you can manage, don't look to your own ingenuity and skill. Look to me. Allow me to bless you. Because everything that we need is found in him. The Lord is saying, in effect, I will give you security. I will satisfy the desires of your heart. And one of the most important lessons that we can learn in life is the lesson that the good life, the life that we all want for ourselves, is found as we lift our eyes to God and receive blessing from His gracious hand, rather than thinking that we can create the good life for ourselves and all by ourselves. God alone can satisfy our souls. It's the promise. And then we have the mission. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. The second half of Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. Now, you know that the chapter breaks in our Bibles are artificial, right? You know that when the Bible was originally written, there were no chapters and there were no verses. Sometime later, editors came along and they inserted all these breaks in our Bibles. And each book of the Bible actually functions as a seamless whole. That's why it's a really good discipline sometimes to sit down and read a whole book of the Bible in one sitting. They tend to break things up. But these breaks are artificial. But if we're going to put a break anywhere in our Bibles, let's put a break between the end of Genesis chapter 11 and the beginning of Genesis chapter 12. Because this moment in history is a moment that marks a decisive break from everything that has come before. God does something new, and a new story begins. It's the moment of the launch of God's great mission. It begins with Abraham and continues with us today. And the narrator of Genesis wants to underline the significance of these words. How do you do that in Hebrew? Do you write in capital letters or italics? No, you do it through repetition. So five times in the book of Genesis, these words are repeated. Here in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, and then again in chapter 18, verse 18, the Lord says, all nations on earth will be blessed through Abraham. Genesis 22, verse 18, through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. Genesis 26, verse 4, through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. Genesis 28, verse 14, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. The message of these words is God is on a mission. Two thoughts about that mission. Firstly, God's mission has to do with the nations. And we see at this point how this story of Abraham links with the previous story that the author was telling in the earlier part of Genesis. The story that came before this one was the story of the nations. Remember the table of nations in Genesis chapter 10. Remember the nations coming together to build the tower in Genesis chapter 11. And then God focuses his attention on one family. Has God given up on the nations? Has he forgotten about the nations? Does he not care about all these other people groups? Because now he has chosen a single people group for his favor and for his attention. Not a bit of it. He centers his attention on this one family, on Abraham's family, for the sake of all the families of the earth. Through this family, God will accomplish his purpose, which is for everyone. God's mission is about the nations. And secondly, God's mission has to do with blessing. This word bless or blessing appears five times in these words that God says to Abraham. And the attentive reader of Genesis will think, hang on a moment, where have I read about blessing before? Now, if you're reading through Genesis as a seamless whole, you'll come to these words in Genesis 12 and you'll think, bless, blessing, bless, blessing. Where have I read that before? It's the very first page of our Bibles. In Genesis chapter 1, we read about God blessing. We read that when God created the heavens and the earth on day 5, there are the creatures of the sea and the birds of the air. And we read, God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth. On day 6, when God creates human beings, he speaks to those first human representatives and says, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. We're told he blessed them. And he also blesses the seventh day. And what we learn from that first page of the Bible is that blessing has to do with life. It has to do with abundance. That's the meaning of the word blessing. Genesis chapter 1 starts with the picture of an earth that is devoid of life. It's incapable of producing life. It's incapable of sustaining life. It's just an empty void. There is barrenness. And God speaks into the barrenness. There is blessing, and the earth brings forth life. And here in Genesis chapter 11 and 12, we're introduced to the family line of Abraham. And the narrator says something about Abraham's family that's totally unexpected, that's totally unprecedented. Because he's given us this long list of sons. You know, so-and-so had a son, who 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 had a son, all the way down to Abraham. And then we read in Genesis 11, verse 30, Abraham and his wife Sarai had no son because Sarah was not able to conceive. Her womb is barren, incapable of producing and sustaining life. So what does God do? He says, I'm going to bless you. He speaks into the barrenness. And her womb brings forth life. It's a fresh moment of creation, which also marks the beginning of God's mission to the earth. What he's doing is not just bringing life to this little family group. He's bringing life to them so that through them, life and abundance might go to all people groups on the earth. Think a bit more about this idea of blessing. In the Old Testament, God's blessing is generally material in nature. As the story of Abraham unfolds, we see that God's blessing of Abraham has to do with sons and land and prosperity. But as the New Testament picks up and develops this theme of blessing, we understand the scope of God's blessing is expanded to include not just material blessing, but also and especially spiritual blessing. Which is why Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ through God's mission to the world that started with Abraham. Today we have blessings of which Abraham only had the vaguest notion. We have forgiveness of sins. We have a right standing before God. We've been adopted into God's family. We've received the gift of the Spirit. We have the hope of resurrection life. We have received blessing upon blessing upon blessing. Life, life, and more life. What the Bible calls eternal life. And not only have we received these blessings through the family of Abraham, we've received the blessing of becoming part of the family of Abraham. Abraham is the father of us all. Father Abraham has many sons. Many sons has Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord, because by becoming Abraham's children, God has blessed us, and through us, he intends to bring his blessing to all the people around us. Amen. As I was preparing this talk, you know, sometimes I sit down and I know exactly where my preparation is going to take me. I've sort of got a sense ahead of time. Okay, I think the Lord would want to say this. This is one of those times where I was sat down this week preparing this message and I felt the Lord take me in a totally different direction. And he underlined the significance of this theme of mission. When I started, I didn't think that this preaching series was going to be a series all about mission. Now I see it's about mission. And the Lord underlined that for me, and I believe that he'd do so for all of us, actually. Because in my own experience, I've learned that it is so easy to forget about the mission. We are a people who are richly blessed, beyond measure. Just amazing. What are we going to do with all that blessing? What am I going to do with all that blessing? Am I going to keep it for myself? Am I going to stay quiet about it? Am I going to keep it a private affair? Am I going to live the rest of my days getting in holy huddles with other Christians as we celebrate God's blessing, sing about God's blessing, marvel at God's blessing, but keep the door shut on a world that is spiritually deprived, spiritually impoverished, and in desperate need of the life of God? And you know me well enough, many of you, to know there's nothing wrong with being together. Of course not. It's imperative that we gather and we pray and we worship together and we encourage one another. But we do not do these things merely for our own sakes. We do these things so that we can be strengthened for the mission. How do we get involved in that mission? By faith. It's a step of trust. It's saying, Lord, I'm going to step out. I don't know how this is going to land. I don't know how this is going to work out. But I'm going to go to that person. I'm going to go to that place. I'm going to have that conversation. I'm going to give that invitation. I'm going to pray for that person. And through all of those ways and more, God then works through us to bring his blessing to those around us. And notice the launch of God's great mission. In Genesis chapter 12, begins as one man takes a step of faith. He doesn't know where he's going, but he trusts the Lord nonetheless. The continuation of God's mission to bring blessing to all people happens as we copy that kind of faith, as we take steps of our own. And I felt the Lord underline three things, and these are three things I'd love us to take with us now as we break bread together. And the three things are this: that we renounce self-reliance. We come out of Babylon. We embrace God-reliance. We put our trust in him. And we give ourselves to the mission.